With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show on-site edition. Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm here with Ralph Russo, the Associated Press. This is a return date from a home-and-home series, Ralph. I was on your podcast that you do through the AP a few weeks ago. We talked about the future of college football television. We are here at the place where the Big Ten, Pac-12, Big 12, American, Mountain West.
And part of the MAC. I don't know if it's a full-blown MAC meeting, but some of the MAC is here.
Right, the Tuesday night crew of the MAC. We're here, and apparently some people listen to that and said we were right about some stuff. We're never right about anything, Ralph.
Yeah, there was at least a little bit of like we were on to something. How about that? We were definitely on to something.
I like that.
Yeah, we're definitely on to something as far as trying to program TV, college football TV, out past 2025 when all these conferences, including all the conferences mm-hmm. that are here this week. Now, they're not meeting together, but they're all here this week. These are the three conferences that will have TV deals coming up in the next 4 years.
Big Ten is doing it basically this year.
Right.
This summer, they'll be done by the end of the summer probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so something significant has happened since we recorded that podcast, and that is a very, you know, newsworthy Netflix earnings call mm-hmm. where Netflix says, oh, we're going to have an ad-supported tier. And when I saw that, I'm like, oh, well, maybe they will get into live sports. So,
some kind of programming
yeah.
that is appointment programming, not necessarily just something that you come to.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what that suggests.
Because the whole point of Netflix, and it's interesting working for The Athletic, because I feel like one of the things that sells us at The Athletic is the lack of ads mm-hmm. when you're reading stories. And at my old job, I would have, you know, sometimes upwards of 30 ads embedded into a story, and it drove people nuts. Mm-hmm. But that's how we paid for stuff. And you go to The Athletic, you pay a subscription fee, you get no ads, you get the story. But Netflix has been like that all the time. And in fact, I believe now I'll see the founders of The Athletic later this week, but I believe their initial thought was the Netflix of sports writing.
Right.
But here,
that was the Netflix model.
Yeah. Here, Netflix itself is saying, you know what? We're looking at Hulu. We're looking at all these other streaming services where people are happy to watch some ads and pay a little bit less. And maybe people don't want to pay the full freight because we keep raising their prices. And so I always assumed Netflix didn't get into this game. And then prior to this year, I thought Apple probably is not getting into this game. But now you see Apple's got MLB. You've got Amazon with the NFL. And it sounds like the Big Ten has a chance to sell to somebody like that, along with Fox, ESPN, NBC, CBS.
Yeah, so Netflix, the best description I remember having of them, and trust me, like their business model is not my expertise, but that they want to be something to everyone.
Yes.
They literally want everyone. Their goal
to
is to
it.
Have
yeah.
everyone to need Netflix. So, right, I mean, at this point, what are you looking for? Okay, now, How about sports fans? Like, we don't really have anything to draw them in, but maybe having a little. I think the one thing that I'll go back to, Andy, is what we talked about on the last podcast, my podcast yeah. with you, again, the first of the Home and Home.
Go listen to that one, by the way.
Yes.
Anywhere you can find podcasts.
Seek that one out, AP Top 25 College Football Podcast. It was a couple of weeks back with Andy, was this idea of at what level do those streaming services or online services, the Amazons, the Netflixes, the Apples,
right.
Do they want to dabble in this? Because I don't think that certainly not the Big Ten. The Big Ten is not at the point where it's going to say, yes, we'll give you all of our best
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, no, they're not there yet.
That's not happening. But maybe the Pac-12 or the Big 12 might be a little more willing to say, we'll give you a lot of our best stuff. Maybe not all of it, but we'll give you a lot of our best stuff.
You've seen it with the Big 12 and with the American, where they've sold more for ESPN Plus,
right,
forced ESPN to pay somewhat of a premium to put things on ESPN Plus because they want to drive people there who will then turn over their hard-earned money to subscribe to ESPN Plus. So it's that's where that money's coming. But if it's Apple, if it's Amazon, that's a different story because you may already have, like, there's a good chance you already have Amazon Prime because you want two-day free shipping. There's a good chance you already have the Apple streaming service because you love Ted Lasso or because you love the Jason Momoa show where everybody's blind. My wife loves that show. I didn't like it.
Well, and Netflix too. Who doesn't have Netflix?
Yeah.
Now you can say who doesn't have Netflix, but apparently after the last earnings report,
200,000 fewer people.
There's a lot of people who have either given it up or they're too much password sharing. However you want to frame that, there are people out there who don't have Netflix that Netflix wants to reach. But again, I keep going back to this idea of, do they want to dabble in this?
Yeah.
And is college football, listen, I know college football is very, it's a powerful property. It's very valuable.
But it's not the NFL.
It's not the NFL. And to a certain degree, it's also maybe not MLB.
Oh, but I think it is. I think in terms of just, if you look at raw viewers for big games, then college football, the only thing it's behind is the NFL.
Right.
The NBA is the only other thing that really compares.
That's
finals
fair.
Games versus
that is fair.
Big, you know, playoff games, that sort of thing.
So what can be? So do those players shape or help shape the market here? I think that ultimately that's the question.
Right. Is it driving it up? Yeah.
Do their mere presence help create more opportunity? Listen, I mean, to a certain degree, this is Larry Scott's dream, right?
Former Pac-12 commissioner, this is what he thought was going to happen if he got the Pac-16 together, yeah.
Right. I mean, his vision for the future was that the Pac-12 is going to own all of its rights, and then when all these streaming services jump in, we will be best positioned to sell them off. Now, again, Larry Scott got a lot of criticism for the way these things played out, but it would be somewhat ironic if on the back end of things with the next commissioner, I'm not saying the Pac-12 is all of a sudden going to like jump ahead of the SEC.
George Kliavkov did work at Hulu briefly, right? So yeah.
I just do you think there is some irony to the idea that maybe the Pac-12 does in some ways benefit from this surge in its next round?
It'd be crazy but necessary. I think the Pac-12 and the Big 12 need that the most. And
if you are the ones trying desperately to close the gap, you're the ones you're the leagues that are going to say, listen, we need to do something different here.
Yeah.
Like how are we gonna go from 30 to 40 million apiece to the 75 or 80 million apiece that we're
that's the part that
you gotta close the gap.
I keep talking to people and they say, okay, yes, these companies have lots of money. Mm-hmm. But it's sort of like the I didn't get rich by being stupid thing. Like they know what things are worth and they pay attention to the markets.
Right.
And so they may not overpay for this, but they may pay somewhat of a premium because it's an unfamiliar. So let's talk about, because we talked about this on your podcast where we were trying to kind of plot out the weekend, basically, once all these new deals are in place. So you will have the new SEC deal with ESPN. Where that 3:30 game on CBS will now be a 3:30 game on ABC, or could potentially be an 8 p.m. game on ABC, if that's what they wanted to do. And then they'll have games on the SEC Network and games on ESPN and ESPN2. You'll have, I'm just going to go out and say, the best Big Ten game will be on Fox.
Most likely at noon.
And probably at noon. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they're going to put that other package. I don't know if they're going to split it off into more than one other package. It might be three that they split up. And the part we talked about that I find very interesting. So I believe I was in high school the last time ESPN did not have Big Ten games. Or maybe I was in middle school.
Gosh, I can't even remember. I mean, if you were in middle school, that means I guess I was in college, but I don't remember.
It's been a long time. And I think that that would be interesting too, if they decide not to go with ESPN, which they have not, to my knowledge, decided that yet, that that's still very much on the table. But it says a lot about how we talk about college football, where our conversation comes from, because the prevailing wisdom as of 5 years ago was you have to have a package on ESPN or they will stop talking about you on their other shows and then your league's out of luck. But now, like, I haven't watched an episode of College Football Live in years. Like, game day, I guess, but I watch Fox's pregame show. I get my college football conversation from social media. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what generates the thought, you know, the different thoughts for me is, oh, I read what this guy said or what this lady said on Twitter or on Instagram, or, you know, it's not this monolith where Kirk Herbstreit has to say it or it didn't happen.
Sure, and you're more bullish on this idea than I am, though I agree to a certain degree, to a certain extent, that ESPN is not the driving force, the owner of college football, the way it has been in the past.
Though it still wants to be.
It still wants to be, and I still think that I suspect there is a certain amount of conversation driven by ESPN, because it is such a familiar platform, mm-hmm. because more people – listen – Big Noon has done a nice job of creating a niche, but a lot more people are watching game day.
Yeah.
Right? So that's still the show of record
right.
in college football. You're right as far as the Big Ten is concerned. They're going to talk about the Big Ten no matter what, because they have to talk about the Big Ten.
It's a huge audience. You can't just ignore the audience.
You can't ignore the Big Ten. But so I don't know if the Big Ten necessarily needs Notre Dame for the Big Ten necessarily needs ESPN
yeah.
for the exposure. I think that conversation is more interesting around the Big 12 and the Pac 12, because they're the ones that need to be that need to weigh exposure, money, mm-hmm. where, like, so in other words, if Netflix is coming to me or Amazon is coming to me and saying, "Hey, we can definitely give you a little more if you're going to squeeze out we'll give you like a Friday night game mm-hmm. every Friday night, and we don't necessarily want your best game, but it needs to be like at least the top three."
That would be if I'm the Big Ten, that's what I'm pitching to Amazon or someone like that, is we have games that originate from Evanston, from Champaign, from Piscataway, those are our Friday night games. So when Ohio State goes to that place, that game's on Friday night.
But the issue becomes, again, if you're Netflix, that to me, if you're Netflix or Amazon or Apple, that to me seems, again, like dabbling. So the question
becomes... But that's what they've only dabbled so far.
But the question becomes, would I rather have a more broad partnership mm-hmm. with the Big 12 or Pac-12, which I'm probably going to have to pay a little extra for, because they're giving up exposure for the money.
But right? they're not. And this leads me to my next question, because I'm curious about this, because we're all in different stages technologically mm-hmm. of how we consume things.
True.
And probably this is the biggest spectrum we've seen in our lifetimes of how people consume right. things differently.
Because right, there are still older folks, even myself, who would want to sort of be on watching TV,
right.
TV,
and
that
it's cable or satellite, because they don't want to buffer.
But there's also a whole generation that, I mean, my daughter will watch a full day's worth of shows on her phone.
Right.
Never be near a television.
Yes.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Do you think enough of our society, and I don't even know if it's enough society, maybe just enough of the college football watching public, mm-hmm. are they ready for a streaming only situation for a league?
I don't think so. I think that you would be short. I think in the long term that could work out pretty well. I do think you would be probably giving up some stuff short term, as far as your legacy audience right now.
Yes.
And the other question I would have is, how are they going to, again, sort of drive conversation for? Are you just going to become so you're sort of, we're going to slide you over here into this streaming service, and only people who seek you out are going to find you, as opposed to those when you're on like a linear network, people sort of stumble across you and come to you. In other words, if you are on ESPN, I might watch your game, not because I'm looking for your game, but just because, oh, I know college football will be on ESPN.
Well, I do think that's interesting, because when I did that study of the ratings, the numbers of for games on ESPN or on ESPN2 versus the numbers for games on FS1 were, and I know a lot of it is, that's just your condition to go to ESPN, or your sports bar is conditioned to put it on ESPN.
See, I still think that's a thing. So that's when we talk about, like, can you give up being on ESPN? I think there is a certain amount of, hey, they drive conversation, but there's also a certain amount of, like, user habit, consumer habit that has been built up for a long period of time.
Yes, we're talking 35 years, basically.
And
yeah,
to shift that and to make that turn that battleship and to think, oh, we'll get everybody. I mean, listen, somebody once thought that they were going to change the dynamic of New Year's Eve by putting really big college football
Never, on New Year's I can't Eve. Imagine anybody doing that.
How well did that work out? So I'm not saying you couldn't drive viewership, and yeah, people will learn. I want to go see these games. I'm going to go to Amazon. If I really want these games, I'm going to go to Amazon. But you're going to lose a lot of casual viewers who come to you almost accidentally.
Now, the Amazon and Apple thing I think is interesting, though, because especially Amazon. Because I feel like most people go, oh, I already have that. Mm-hmm. Or Netflix, same thing. I already have that. Mm-hmm. That's where Peacock, Paramount Plus, HBO Max / Discovery, whatever that's going to be called when it's all merged together. Like that. That's one of those, I don't have that. Or I may have that. Oh, yeah, didn't we subscribe to that to watch Yellowstone or something?
I already have it, but am I instinctively flipping to it on a college football Saturday just to see what's on it? So there's that in
there's a lot of education that'll have to go on if that's the case.
You know, there was something we didn't talk about during that last conversation. I think it's worth putting it up here because I ended up making a reference to it on Twitter. You know, TBS might be in this game too.
Well, yes. So what we were just talking about, HBO Max, Discovery, that is Turner. That's TBS, TNT, all of that, and having that outlet, because TNT is a place people go for live sports because of the NBA.
And I could also see them doing it up. You know what I'm saying? Like when I say, like, okay, we're gonna own the Pac-12 per se, but we're gonna really give the Pac-12 a great ride. We're gonna do Pac-12 today, we're gonna make their games.
What is that if not what Fox did with Big Noon Saturday? So I was talking to somebody from the Big Ten not long ago, and they were explaining that it was at these meetings a few years ago that the Fox people presented their idea for Big Noon Saturday. And I believe it was James Franklin, the Penn State coach, who said, okay, do that, but you got to brand it. You got to make it big. You got to make it special. Make people. And
quite literally big.
It's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
They did it and literally overnight changed the way.
Right.
Because now ESPN puts better games on at noon to compete with that.
Yeah. And I think TBS, because of the nature of. You know, again, they're sort of trying to get in this game, so I think.
Well, and that's your legacy audience because
and there's a legacy.
You're going there for Seinfeld reruns. You're going there for they still have the Seinfeld reruns, right?
I think most of the time.
Friends,
maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure most of the time.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that you can still reach that audience, and over the air is still important too.
That's what I'm saying.
Like whoever NBC and CBS, both in it for the Big Ten, whoever doesn't get them, they're going to need something. I don't think they just go with nothing.
Yeah, especially CBS. Again, you've built up consumer habit for so many years. I'm going to go there.
You've got the song.
You've got the great production. You make a big event. That game is a big event, which is, again, if I'm the Big 12 and the Pac-12, I want somebody to make my games a big event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want somebody who's going to do it up for my games.
I'll be honest. If I'm the network dealing with these people, and I've seen how they've operated in the I'm going to the Big 12 before I go to the Pac-12. Because if I go to the Pac-12, all I'm going to get are complaints about what time the games start.
I mean, there is that.
The Big 12 people, and I realize the Big 12 people complain about 11 a.m. local kickoffs too, but I think if it...
Oh, you think? If it's Oklahoma? Oklahoma, yeah,
Nebraska
last year?
They're going somewhere else. They're going to get those on ESPN at Oklahoma too, by the way, right, when they're in the SEC. Get used to that. But I think they're more malleable. I think they would be more understanding of the business aspects of it and be like, look, okay, cool, we'll take it. It feels to me like the Pac-12 fans want the games to start at 1 p.m. Pacific every single time and never want it to be anything different.
Well, and that's a place where, again, I think if you're looking for the streaming services, maybe they're the place where they can get some accommodation.
You could actually do that.
For that, where they would be like, yeah, sure. Like, we'll accommodate you on those times.
And listen, as long as you get us X number of subscribers, we don't care.
Listen, this is all push and pull when it comes to money, right? Yeah. We give you some game control time. We get more money. We want we need more game control time back. Yeah. So we're going to give up a little money. So what is the sweet spot?
Yeah, and like the Big 12, I've been saying this, and I've said this a couple times on this podcast, the new Big 12 needs to try to own Friday night. Now, whether that's on ESPN or whether that's on a broadcast network, probably not. So Fox has SmackDown on Friday night, so that's probably not available. But let's say NBC wanted to do that or somebody like that. Friday night's a graveyard for scripted television. So but you can if you got a good game, people will watch it. So I do think the new Big 12 should think about that. Now obviously a lot of schools in the state of Texas, high school football is big there. Maybe you don't want to do that, but I will say the ones coming from the American, Houston's already been doing home games on Friday nights. Right. Cincinnati, obviously huge, now that's in Ohio, but still huge high school football area. UCF, huge high school football area. But they've been doing games on Friday nights.
Already schools that are used to doing this because this is what they did in the AAC.
Yeah, and so if you don't want, like let's say Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, TCU, the schools that are in big high school football country do not want to do that, fine. Do it when they're on the road.
And you know what? I remember back in the day when occasionally SEC games were played on Thursday night, but who played them? South Carolina?
Vanderbilt. Mississippi State.
And Jackie. I covered those teams. Jackie Sherrill liked those because they understood it as, hey, this is our night.
Steve Spurrier took his team to Starkville on a Thursday night, and Florida refused to ever play another Thursday night game.
Yeah, so I think you say, well, the Texas schools might not want to be involved in it, but I don't know. Maybe if I'm Baylor, maybe I don't mind occasionally being on a Friday night.
Yeah, I'm thinking own it.
Yeah.
Become the – because my thing about the new Big 12 – and I've said this a few times, they're going to be so close competitively, those teams. It's going to be fun. What you think is going to be the best game of the weekend may not be. It may be the one that's 2, 3, or 4 on the docket. And so you do a double header, like you've got Cincinnati at UCF, or let's say, okay, we'll go mixing matching the new and the old. Oklahoma State at UCF at 7:30, Texas Tech at BYU at 10:30. That's a hell of a doubleheader.
That's a potential to
or
be
7 and 10, or however you want to do it.
You're selling you're selling really good games and really good competition. We may not have the bell cows, but we are going to have a lot of very good football games.
And the thing is, if you have great games that sort of captivate, because I know I'm a sicko, you're a sicko, the people listening, you're all sickos, and we love
if
you for
listening
it.
To this,
but I do think, especially with the gambling becoming more permissive and more states legalizing it, more in-game wagering, that sort of thing. If there's a great competitive fun game on a Friday night, people are going to come find it.
Yeah, listen, it helps. I mean, this I'll give the AP poll a pop. It helps to have a number in front of your team.
Yeah.
And the Big 12 should be able to, like, again, I don't know if you're going to have a whole bunch of ones, twos, and threes in front of your teams, but you might have a whole bunch of 9, 10, 12, 16, 19, 21s.
Yeah.
And if you're matching up those type of games where you have 4 or 5 ranked teams, even if they're not like the highest ranked teams, I think there's something there. I think that's what that will be the selling point for the Big 12.
So, Ralph, we won't get into, and this has been a complaint-free zone because we have a lot of changes in the sport to talk about that everybody's, you know, very up in arms about. And we're going to deal with a lot of that on this show over the next few weeks. But I don't know what things will look like in 2040 in terms of
2040.
What teams will be where and who. Well,
I'll say 2028.
2036 when the ACC contract ends.
Sure.
Do you think we will click on our smart TV and go to a streaming service and watch all of our college football that way at that point?
By 2036. You know, people who are smarter than me on this believe it to be so. So I think that it is likely that we will have to.
I think it goes like in opposite directions, either over the air or streaming service.
So you think that there won't be a blend? It will move to either
one or the other? I think linear cable will be gone, and it will be over the air, which
I see what you're
saying. Which you can then subscribe to that particular network streaming. So like ABC will be available through the Disney streaming service. Like Disney Plus will be ABC, Disney, everything ESPN does, not ESPN Plus, but the whole offering. It will cost like $30 a month, and people will buy it.
Yeah, I've operated under the assumption that we are moving towards you will have to pay for your sports.
Yes.
Just whatever it is, you will have to pay for to be a sports fan to watch your sports. Now,
we had a nice ride for a little while with a bunch of people who didn't care about sports paying for it.
Yeah, yeah. But so. I think that will it be 2036? Yeah, maybe. That's 14 years from now. That sounds like
But yeah, if you don't want to do rabbit ears, you can do Paramount Plus, Peacock, ABC or Disney Plus.
I'm not even sure about that. I think you might get to a model where it's deemed affordable. I don't know what affordable would be in 2036. That might be $7,000 might be depending on
the way
inflation.
Things are going now, it might be. Yeah.
We will have been taught and conditioned that what you want, you have to pay for over.
I do think the cable bundle will get reinvented in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that's possible.
Where there's this there will be packages you can buy. We're certain, you know, there will be unholy alliances between.
Well, but this goes back to something that we've talked about before. Well, at that point, what will college football look like? Mm-hmm. Who will be where?
Completely different. Yeah.
And will they be doing what I've always thought that they would do, which is, here is the College Football Network, and maybe
why not just sell it direct to the consumer?
Yeah, whether these conferences are all linked in arms but still somewhat separate entities, or maybe there is as a super league and there's six. I don't know what exactly that looks like, but I've always thought that eventually what you're getting back to is sort of like retro, like we're gonna go back to the future and have the CFA.
except unlike the NCAA contract or the CFA, there would be no limits on how many times a team can appear, and you won't get Appalachian State Samford when you really really want, but NC State and Pitt.
Yeah, so. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, I think that's the future model here, because I just see consolidation and the idea that like that's where you could make a lot of money if you're creating a product where this is where you come to get your college football, and we're all going to sort of like whoever we is by that time. You know, your school might not be we. I don't know who you are out there watching, but I don't know if you're going to be one of the we's or one of the outs, but we'll find out in 12 years.
Well, I'm going to make you the president of that network, the College Football Network. I like that. It could be a. What are we charging for that? $7,000. No,
but
$20. Okay. Let's pretend that was a thing you could get now.
Yeah.
Because conceivably, you actually, if you got rid of the existing media rights deals, you could do that. What do you think would be the price point if you could say you could have every FBS game?
See, I think it would be a lot.
Is it $150 a year?
Yeah, my mind went to 100.
100, okay.
My mind immediately went to
100. That's a lot of, like, when you add up how many people watch college football, that is a lot of money.
Right.
I'm bad at math. As you know, we're a terrible math podcast.
Yeah, but that's why I'm a good guest.
That's a lot of money.
I do not swing the curve. I do not alter the curve.
I believe the scientific term for that would be a buttload of money.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because I think it's super valuable. I mean, just think about.
And then you can sell ads on against it because it's a live broadcast and you have advertising.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that would be an incredibly valuable product. And again, I always have thought that of course, the stumbling block to that is these conferences compete against each other. And no, I don't want to be your partner. And I want to
dominate you.
Because it goes down to what, because think about what, like, if you really want to open the door to
Ralph,
this,
if only they had some incentive to want to work together.
If you really think about it and open the door to this, the immediate obvious reason why this doesn't happen is because you quickly get to the conversation of, but we're worth more than you.
Yes. Why should we float you?
Yeah. Us SEC teams, we're worth more than you.
And that conversation has been had in sports before.
Yeah.
You know, we the Yankees are worth more than you, the Pirates.
Yeah.
We the Cowboys are worth more than you, the Browns.
And listen, again, dear viewer, yeah, coming to your town at some point will be, hey, Vanderbilt, we're worth more than you. And that'll be Alabama saying that.
Yeah.
Like those conversations within these conferences, that's coming.
Oh, that, Ralph.
That's coming.
I said this was going to be a complaint-free podcast.
Oh, sorry about that.
But that's all right. That we'll leave you with that notion, though, the idea of, would you just click a button? Would you Apple Pay it? Would you Google Pay it? Well, flat rate to get every college football game delivered to all your devices. That sounds pretty awesome to me.
Sounds good to me.
They're going to have to figure this out. So it is currently 2022. The ACC contract runs out in 14 years, so they got some time. Till then, we'll be here in lovely Arizona. We'll talk to you later.